Leroy's the same Leroy, isn't it? Well, it is good to be back in the pulpit, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I haven't been loafing since I retired. I was preaching Grundy, Virginia Sunday, and here tonight, when the pastor's meeting in Knoxville yesterday, got to teach in Bible College in Bristol tomorrow night, and preach again in Bristol Sunday. So I am keeping on the move a little bit. But it is good to be back in this church. And I thank God for raising this church up in 1779, and God's blessed us down through the years. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11, page 1301 in your old Schofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Now, you better say amen right there, Leroy. The Lord laid on my heart just to, why am I preaching here tonight? And I wrote down two or three things. First of all, to lift up Jesus and be faithful to God's word and the God of the word first. Then help the church and help the pastor, Brother Jody. I want to try to help you and Brother Jody, and I'm behind him. I told Brother Jody that I may not always agree with every little thing he does, like you didn't agree with me and everything I did 46 years, but you back me, and God will bless you, and I'm going to back him 100%. 100%. I'm going to back Brother Joe and thank God for raising him up. And do pray for his dear wife and Brother Joe as he takes care of the kids for a few days. Hebrews 11, verse 8 and 9 and 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have received for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's a great verse there, isn't it? Great passage. Well, let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord. We want to please thee. And Lord, I need your help as I preach. Would you touch me and anoint me? Bless these dear people. And Lord, help us to get something from the word of God tonight to help us. And may the Lord God of heaven be exalted in this place. We do pray for Becky that, Lord, you'd touch her body and heal her quickly. Thank you, Brother Jody. Continue to touch him and his ministry here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and their precious children. Blessing this service tonight. Bless this, your unworthy servant, and may Jesus be lifted up, and may the Holy Spirit of God have his right away as the word of God goes out. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, one of the things that I've noticed about real born-again godly people is the simplicity of their faith. A living, vital, satisfying faith in the Lord is is not some deep, weird, mysterious thing. Real faith is simple, and it's a practical thing. Now, my parents, as I told you many times, my mother and father had a sixth and seventh grade education, and they just had a simple faith in God. And believe in living right, and they believed the Bible, and they were saved, and they were just simple, practical. Their religion is simple, practical, and heartfelt. And the Lord has laid on my heart tonight four wonderful yet simple statements. excuse me. In God's call of Abraham in these three verses, notice that is all by faith. In verse 8, he was called by faith. And in verse 8, he obeyed by faith. In verse 9, he sojourned by faith. And in verse 10, he looked for a city by faith. Now, what is faith? We need to decide what is faith. Well, it's faith, folks, it's just believing God. It's just believing God and taking God at his word. Just say, Lord, I don't understand the word, but I'm going to believe it. And it's true where I believe it or not. It's true where you believe it or not. So just accept it, where you understand it or not. Look up at verse 6 in Hebrews 11. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, now here's faith right here, simple definition of faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I mean, just believe that he's God. Just believe it. But he that he is, and a child can understand that, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you'll get saved by the grace of God and try to live right, then you just believe God's going to help you and bless you as you go down through the life's path. And he will. And he will. Well, let's look at four things now about Abraham that I believe will be a blessing. It was to me just to study this tonight. First of all, he was called in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards see for inheritance. Now, hold your place here. Turn over to Acts, the 7th chapter. We'll come right back to this. Look at Acts, the 7th chapter. And Stephen, we see Stephen before the council here, the Hebrew council, Sanhedrin. In chapter 7, verse 2. And Stephen now, he said, men, brethren, and fathers, I'll wait till you get there. Hebrews, Acts 7, verse 2, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory, notice now, appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and he said unto him, get thee, now God said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show thee. Abraham was probably immersed in spiritual darkness and idolatry at this time, when in God's mercy and his grace, he called Abraham to leave his homeland and his family and friends and go into a strange land where he had never been. He had never seen it. And I believe that when God appeared to him, I believe right then Abraham was saved. And the Lord became a living reality to his heart and his life for the first time. That's what real salvation is, when the Lord appears to you and makes his presence known to you and you trust him as Lord and Savior. That's what the new birth is, when the Lord appears to you. And it was my, when I don't know that God had ever spoken to me. I don't remember if he did, till I was 13. The first time the Holy Spirit moved over me, I'm glad that I said yes to Christ. I walked in that church in darkness, spiritual darkness. I walked out in the light, and the presence of Christ I felt in that very night. Went home, and as I've told you many times, laid down on the bed and looked out, and the moon was so beautiful, and I thought, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the Lord had come back tonight? See, the Lord, and me, just a young boy, the Lord met me. That's what the new birth is. Whosoever believeth on Jesus is the Christ. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You get saved by believing on, your water won't do it, your church membership won't do it, your good life won't do it, just believing on Jesus. You'll get in if you'll just believe on him with all your heart. Now, I don't know how God called Abraham. The Bible doesn't say exactly how he called him. It just said he did. It may have been through a vision like Isaiah had in Isaiah 6. It may have been through a dream like Jacob had in Genesis 28. Or God could have sent a prophet to him and just delivered the message to him. Or he could have been through an audible voice like when God spoke to little Samuel in an audible voice. And he spoke, and we know that he spoke audibly at Mount Moriah to Abraham. And then again, Christ appeared to him in Genesis 18 with two men, and he talked with Christ, I believe, in Genesis 18. So we don't know for sure, but for how God called him, but I believe God spoke to him through an audible voice from heaven and said, get thee out from thy kindred and from thy father's house. God spoke to Abraham. And you know what? I'm glad he still calls men today. Now, he calls in various ways. He calls through the Holy Spirit. He calls through this blessed old book. I mean, if you'll get saved and live right, immerse yourself in this book, God will speak to you through this book. Now, not every time I go in the Bible that God speaks, but every now and then, Brother Graham, he speaks to me through that book. He still speaks through his word. And I believe he speaks through God-called preachers. I don't believe a person ought to enter the ministry unless God has called him. I believe the ministry is a place for a God call. We're not always godly, not all the time. We don't always make the right decisions. And we're not all what we should be. But we ought to think in our soul that God's called us to preach before we get behind the pulpit and start trying to preach. But he calls who God called preachers. And he calls a lot of people through their counsel of a godly mother and father. I thank God for my godly mother and father in heaven tonight. The godly counsel that they gave me down through the years. And he's spoken to millions of people through sickness and trouble and through bereavement. And if God is calling you tonight, you ought to say with little Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Abraham heard the call, and by faith he received it as a call from God. Then secondly, he obeyed. Abraham had a call from God, but look in verse 8 there. One word right in the middle of verse 8 made all the difference in the world. Notice what that one word is. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance. Notice, comma, then the word what? Obeyed, semicolon there. Obeyed, he obeyed. And 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God called Abraham, and look at Abraham's response now in the latter part of verse 8. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And it says he obeyed, and that shows the consent of his heart and mind. And he went out. That tells he proved his faith and his obedience by his performance. And we, today, I believe we prove the reality of our faith, folks, by the way we live. Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth speaketh." So you, the way you talk and the way you live, the way you dress, the way you act, that's what, that comes from inside your heart. And it tells people, we prove the reality of our faith by the way we live. And your lifestyle tells what's down in your heart. Then I want to mention three things about Abraham's obedience. First, he obeyed because he believed the call was from God. By faith, he believed it was the Lord God of heaven who spoke to him, and he felt that the God who called him was worthy of his obedience. And he was sure that God's call for him was right and good. And folks, anytime God speaks to us, it'll be right and good. If we'll obey, I'll guarantee you it'll be right and good. He felt he ought to do exactly like God had said. He did not know where God would lead him, but God knew and he could trust him. And by faith, Abraham obeyed. And we ought to do that. We ought to trust God when he tells us to do something and obey, and God will bless us. Then secondly, he obeyed without counting the cost. He had to leave his loved ones. He had to leave security. He had to leave the greatest civilization ever known to man up until that time. And he had to take a long journey where he would be in great danger all the way, all along the way. And when he got to Canaan, that wasn't the promised land then. There were fierce, cruel Canaanites there. But nothing mattered to Abraham. Danger, discomfort, hardship, loss of friend and family, he didn't count the cost. And God called Abraham, and he went out. And folks, that's what we need to do. Jesus said, "Unless we're willing to forsake all and take up our cross and follow him, we cannot be his disciples." And as the song says, "Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee, destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shall be." Have I said that tonight? All to leave and follow thee. I believe that. I want to believe that I have. I've been trying to follow him all these years. And have you said that tonight? All to leave and follow thee. You ought to say it down in your heart before you leave here tonight. It'd be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. Then a third thing about Abraham's obedience. He obeyed immediately. God called, he obeyed, and went out without hesitation. and went out at once. He didn't hesitate. He started packing as soon as God called him. He didn't get advice on the clear call of God. And folks, when we know God's calling us and know what God wants us to do, you know, it's dangerous to start seeking advice, because people can sidetrack you. They can sidetrack. And now, when you don't know what God's will is, it's good to go to godly, spiritual people and get advice. But when we know what God's will is, we should promptly do it, and that should be our course of action. And it is a sin to delay once God speaks to our heart, when we know what we ought to do. Hebrews 3, 7, 8, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. As the song says, speak, my Lord, speak, my Lord, speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Now, the secret to spiritual success is prompt obedience when God speaks. Prompt obedience. He was called, he obeyed, then thirdly, he sojourned, and it was all by faith. Look at verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He left a great civilization, a place of comfort, and went out to live like a nomad, wandering about living in tabernacles, which was tents, and he was alien in a strange land. And I believe that just as soon as God spoke to his heart, he started packing. I really believe that. He went out to sojourn or live as a stranger in a land, and he had no idea where that land was going to be. He had no map. He did not know how he was going to feed his family, and he did not know what the future held for him. All he knew, that God said go. And folks, that's all we need. He believed somehow God would take care of him when he got there. And Brother Graham, God's taking care of you down in Brazil. The night you knelt right here and surrendered to go to Brazil, you didn't know what was going to take place down there. But when he got down there, God wonderfully took care. Praise the Lord. And God will take care of you if you will just obey him. And some well-intentioned friend might have said, Abraham, why in the world are you going to leave your home and your family like this? He said, God called me, and I must obey. Another friend might have said, Abraham, there's a lot of wild and woolly, deserted country out there. Where are you going to get your supplies? He didn't have Walmart down the road and Food City and the Cracker Barrel and a place up to go. But Abraham said, God told me to go, and I believe he'll take care of me. And that's right. When God calls us and we obey him, we can rest assured he'll never, never, never let us down. Never forget this. God's calling is God's provision. If God calls you, God will provide for you. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We need to let that grip us tonight, folks. God will bless us. God, as the song says, God will take care of you. Through every day, or all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. Well, he was called, he obeyed, he sojourned, and fourthly, and look at verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked forward to Canaan land, but his ultimate promised land was heaven. He looked forward on past Canaan land, looked forward to heaven. And through the eye of faith, his eyes were on that city whose architect was God, and whose builder and maker was God. I've heard about people that they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I haven't run into anybody like that. Maybe Brother Page was. He's heavenly minded, and I wouldn't call him no earthly good, but he was only heavenly minded. All he wanted to talk about, brother, I miss Brother Page. He was all he wanted to talk about. You go and talk about him, if you talk about politics or sports, he'd clam up on you. You start talking about Jesus, and he'd shout all over the house. tell people, he'd grab them, tell them, you got to get born again. And, you know, I've never run into anybody that I thought was the heavenly mind and the worthy good. We'd need to have a few people around here like that, though. But I don't believe we're any earthly good until we're heavenly minded. We need to be heavenly minded. And the greatest cure for discouragement and trouble and heartache and self-pity, the loss of loved ones, and all these are bad. These are terrible. Financial loss and suffering is to think that one day the trumpet is going to sound and we'll all rise up to be with Jesus. And we'll see our loved ones again and have a new body. I've had both knees replaced. I kicked off about, let's see how long ago, from 1953, January the 1st. This is about 59 years ago in the Sun Bowl. And now I couldn't hardly get up on the platform here tonight. And I'm telling you, that glorified body's looking better all along. Somebody say amen right there. And then we'll spend the ceaseless ages in that city not made with hands. That's a real cure for loneliness and disappointment. And just think, the city of the walls are made of jasper. And the 12 gates are huge pearls. What a sight that's going to be. And the streets are pure gold. Somebody told me that a while back that the streets of gold, I believe, and the fish in the river of life are goldfish. Now, I don't know the Bible that says that. But, one of the members, I forget who it was, told me that. Old Dr. Lakin one time, he said, when we get to heaven, we can go out before breakfast and catch fish in the river of life, and they won't even have any scales on them. That may be right. But if we concentrate on the things of this world, folks, we're going to be disappointed sooner or later. Health is fragile and fading. Life is short. Fame is brief and like a bubble. Tim Tebow found that out right quick, didn't he? I mean, Manning walked in and said, I'm coming to Denver. So long, Tebow. And the Tebow mania, he's going to take that somewhere else. I think the Lord will take care of him on that, though. But material possessions can be lost overnight. And if we don't somehow solve the deficit problem in America, we're going to lose everything we've got in this country. Greed is, everybody wants more. More of the tax money, the government more to do this. And we're about to lose it all. And folks, I was here 46 years and 4 months. And you know, it just seemed like it passed off just quickly. 46 years gone. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Paul said in Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. If we focus our minds on heaven, you know, it really doesn't matter what happens down here. If you just stop and think about that. If you get your mind on heaven, it really doesn't matter what happens down here. If you're saved this evening and you're going through a trial, and we all have them, or if you have a great burden, I've been down the road a long time, let me assure you, it's that burden and that trial is not really all that. And I know it's so big, we swell it out of proportion, but it's not all that important. It really doesn't matter. Just commit it to the Lord. I've had burdens and problems down my life, and as I look back, it really didn't matter at all. Brother Jack, you had the same thing, I'm sure. But faith looks beyond the circumstances of this life. Faith knows that one day the Lord will turn the sorrows of this life into eternal joy. And just as the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And folks, the Lord will see you through your problems. He'll see you through. Cast your burden on the Lord. He'll sustain you. Never suffer the righteous to be moved. And get your minds fixed on Jesus. You say, preacher, why did this happen? Why did that happen? As I've said many times in this pulpit, there's no answer to why. Just trust Jesus. If you'll, what you're going through with maybe tonight, if you'll just trust Jesus, somehow, some way, if you're God's child, he'll see you through it. And he'll help you. He'll help you. Now, one last question. Did it pay Abraham to leave everything and follow the Lord? Did it, when Abraham left the greatest civilization of his day and went out not knowing where he was going, did it pay Abraham to obey God? Abraham had problems. Certainly, you know the life of Abraham and hardship. But God was with him and protected him and supplied every need that he had. Right before Abraham died, the word of God says, and this is a tremendous verse, Genesis 24:1. Listen to this. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in A-double-L all things. And I'm not in comparison to Abraham, you're not either, but the people of God who served Jesus down through the years can stand up and say that the Lord has blessed me every step of the way. I had to take some detours, but God was with me in those detours. And what a wonderful conclusion. It did pay Abraham to leave all and obey God and obey the call of God. And I'll guarantee you this, it will pay you to live for Jesus Christ and put him first in your life. I'll guarantee it. Everywhere Abraham went, he was under the protective hand of God, the Lord God of heaven. And you know what? If you're saved, if you've been born again, more than just a church member, if you've been born again tonight, you are under the protective hand of God too, if you're saved. And all things work for his good, and all things are going to work for your good if you keep your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after a great trial, in Genesis 15:1, God said, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Hallelujah. Abraham made a great sacrifice when he heard God's call and left everything dear to him in this life to obey God. Was it a sacrifice? No, it wasn't a sacrifice. And it wasn't a sacrifice when I gave up sports and went to preaching the gospel. I was sick of football after high school and college anyway, and the Lord made me sick of it, so I'd surrender to preach. And it was no sacrifice. And God repaid Abraham 1,000-fold for his sacrifice. Let's just think of how God repaid Abraham. He's the father of the faithful. And because we who are saved tonight are Abraham's children by faith. We're spiritual, his spiritual children, because he one night looked up and God said, "Your descendants are going." He was 100 years old, his wife is 90. That took a lot of faith. And he looked up and God said, "Your children, your descendants are going to be more than the stars of heaven." And Abraham looked up and believed God. And his faith was considered in the sight of God as righteousness. And we today who are saved are all his spiritual children. And Abraham was the founder of the great nation of Israel. And Abraham was called the friend of God. Wouldn't you like to be called the friend of God? And Christ descended from Abraham. So God wonderfully blessed him. God called Abraham, and he obeyed him the first time he spoke to him. And I'm glad, back as a 13-year-old boy, as I said before a while ago, said many times in this pulpit, I'm glad the first time the Holy Spirit ever spoke to my heart, there that night in the revival meeting, I came forward and knelt at the mourner's bench, and old deacon put his arm around me and said, "Do you trust Christ?" And I said, "Yes." I didn't go there to get saved, but I believe the Lord arranged it to be there and to speak to my heart that night. I believe he did. He didn't, I didn't go seeking the Lord. I believe the Lord sought me. And a lot of people say, oh, I just sought the Lord for a long time. Listen, I'm glad he just sought me. I didn't go there looking for him, but he looked for me. As I've told you before, the town drunk was saved on the other side of the mourner's bench, shouted all over the church, scared me to death. And both went out and became Baptist preachers. So the Lord's been good to me down through the years. It pays to obey the call of God. And folks, it pays. I'll guarantee you it will pay you to serve Jesus and put him first above everything in your life. You put him first. Put serving God above sports and your clubs and your friends and everything. Have time to go out visiting through the week. Bus captains, bless your heart. Don't you lollygag on Saturday. Get out and knock on doors. The only way you can fill that bus is knock on doors. Put the Lord first. And Sunday school teachers, don't you lay in the bed on Saturday or on visitation time. You ought to go out on visitation. That's the way to get the job done. It pays to obey the call of God. And I'll guarantee you, when it comes time to the end of the way, you will say, it paid me to serve Jesus. I'll guarantee you that. It'll pay you if you'll obey the call of God. And if God's speaking to you this evening, obey his call. Obey his call. You'll never regret it. He wants to make something wonderful out of your life. Just surrender to him. Put him first. Don't count the cost. Go out serving the Lord, and you'll never regret it. Abraham didn't regret it. You won't either. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And folks, that's what I believe the Lord wanted me to say tonight. It'll pay to serve Jesus. It paid Abraham. It paid him to pay for all eternity. And it'll pay you to serve the Lord. Put the Lord first in your life. And if the Lord's speaking to your heart tonight, why don't you just obey? Let's just sing, brother song leader, just sing what's the name of the song there? Just keep your heads bowed. Just start playing softly. You know that. Let's just sing that first verse. Sing it in your heart, from your heart to the Lord right now. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow me. Where he leads me,
bless you, and he'll lead you the rest of your days if you'll just obey his call. Put him first in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming back here to this pulpit tonight. And Lord, I thank you that you called me as a young man. And Lord, you've blessed me, and I haven't always been what I should have been. But Lord, you've been good to me, better than I deserve. And Lord, I know that... Lord, we can trust you. We'll obey you. It'll pay when we come to the end of the way. And bless everyone here tonight. Fill us with your spirit. I pray for Brother Jody. Pray for Becky that you'll touch her body now. Dismiss us with thy blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. God bless you.